Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with
Thank you. It's a pleasure
Click
to be here.
Click and Clack the Tappert. He never interrupts. Click and Clack the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Click and Clack Porcelain Miniature Division.
Porcelain Miniatures.
You know, everyone says the economy is slow, but we're cranking them out, man.
Oh, I never realized how much money you could make from porcelain miniatures.
That's right.
Like the miniature of my 74 Chevy convertible.
Yeah.
The top down, raccoons in the back. Those things are going like the Skeets. The two little Skeets together kissing? Ah! We can't make them fast enough.
I know it.
I'm now president of the miniatures division.
Call on your miniature brain. Hey, I understand you got some great letters.
I actually do have some great letters. Which one do you want to hear? Here's an interesting little item.
No, I didn't say I wanted to hear anything interesting. I want to hear something great. Can we go right to greatness? Interesting.
My
second choice.
There's no one of them that's great. But as a mosaic, there is a mosaic of greatness. For example, if you take little pieces of tile, no one of them is great, but you could make the Mona Lisa out of it. That would be great. So I don't think you should judge each individual piece of mail.
You're trying to tell me is that these are all
they're
lousy.
They're all bad.
Okay.
No,
I'll tell you what. Let's work our way up. Read the lousiest one first.
All right, here it is.
That should be no problem.
This is not even a letter. Someone sent to us. Or maybe I don't know where it came from.
It doesn't have to be a letter. It can be just a piece of...
It's a piece of paper. If it's a piece of paper and it's not on the roll, I read it.
Okay, go ahead.
This is an excerpt from Automobile Magazine. I think, talking about being... ahead of technology. Just the other day, we were discussing on this very program. It was probably not the other day. It was like a week ago.
Yeah, I think last year.
Remember the woman called up she and her husband used to go jogging, and the car wasn't smelling too good.
Yes, indeed.
And you suggested that they stick odor eaters all over the top of the car. Well, the very next day, here it appears in Automobile Magazine. The world's first deodorizing car seat cover material has been developed by Toyota. Mm. The material absorbs odors and leaves fresh air behind. See, it just shows you that one day the problem is discussed here, and moments later...
Those odors stay trapped in there. At some point, someone's going to have to release those odors.
Ooh!
Boy, isn't that going to be...
You take it in...
That's going to be a bad day at Black Rock, huh?
When you take it into the dealer and you talk about low man on the totem pole.
I guess so.
Freddy, another one of those seats.
Oh, no.
I quit.
Anyway, if you'd like to talk to us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys.
Hi, who's this?
This is Edith Beth from Meredith, New Hampshire.
Edith Beth. I have never heard the name Edith Beth.
It's a combination of my two grandmothers, Edith and Elizabeth, which is my real name, and my father, to keep peace in the family, put them together and came up with Edith Beth.
That's probably how most names were created.
It's probably true.
My name is Thomas. well... Okay, so...
Enough said.
So what's happening?
I have a 1986 Volvo station wagon. And last spring, for just 1 week, I had this problem, and it started again about a month ago. But I was driving on, down in Boston, as a matter of fact, on the Cambridge exit getting onto the Mass Turnpike. And all of a sudden, it sounded like a Boeing 747 coming in for a landing at Logan. This high-pitched whirring noise. I mean, I thought the car was going to blow up. Mm. And then it stopped for no reason. And then I drove around for a week, and every once in a while, I'd just be driving along, and all of a sudden, I'd hear this noise. And it stopped, and it went away, and I thought, well, maybe...
About that duration?
Pardon me?
About that duration?
Maybe a little bit longer, and then sometimes it would stop, and then another whirring noise would come in.
And also the same pitch as you just described?
Sometimes the same pitch, and sometimes not the same pitch. And they wouldn't be synced.
Okay.
Okay, and then it stopped. And I thought, well, maybe this is just because it was the first really hot day in the summer or the spring. And then, like a month ago, it started again, and it's getting progressively worse.
All right, what color is it? You could smell that question coming. What is this, blue?
Is my Volvo blue?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
That's hit it. And is it a 740 or a 240?
240.
240 blue.
And it's in the back.
I thought that's right. That was going to be my next question. Blue, 240, and in the back.
In the back.
Yeah. And it is, that's the right sound. That is the right sound.
So what is it?
I think it's the fuel pump.
Oh.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, my God!
Really? The fuel pump, why?
Why not?
Why not?
That's the only part that we know back there.
It's the only thing that's back there that would make that kind of sound. And in fact, it does make that kind of sound. And it's a common thing to happen.
It isn't usually as high-pitched as you would lead us to think.
I mean, we're talking, like, scream. You know when you're sitting in the cockpit of an airplane and they start pushing you off?
I don't sit in the cockpit usually.
Oh, in the fuselage of the airplane.
Oh, the fuselage. No, yeah. I'm usually
okay.
In the...
And they start backing you off so you're going to get ready to, you know, tack
right,
down the runway.
And they rev it up.
They start the turbines.
Yes, they start the turbines.
That's exactly the noise.
And can this happen at any speed?
Yes.
Slow speeds, fast speeds.
Yes. When it happened, did you happen to notice if the tank was, now this is not a silly question, if the tank was less than half full?
It doesn't make any difference, guys, whether it's full or almost empty.
It doesn't, huh?
And it can be cold, it can be, you know, when I first start out the driveway in the morning or after I've been driving for a while, and it'll happen and then it'll stop.
Yeah, no, I would bet money on the fuel pump.
So you're telling me I need a new fuel pump.
Well, you may. You may also be leading to early fuel pump failure by having a dirty fuel filter. So you might want to have the fuel filter changed. If the pump isn't completely toast yet, you might be able to salvage another week or two out of it.
Okay.
But have that changed, and if you do have the pump changed, have the filter changed anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, guys.
See you,
Beth. Good luck, Ida Beth.
Right.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Mike from Albany.
Hi, Mike.
What's up, man?
Well, I made two mistakes recently. One, I bought my wife's car from her.
And then you listen to this show.
And I, wow, no, that's a great show. You have the best radio show I've ever heard.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, Mike. I didn't know we had any relatives in Albany.
I didn't either. Mike Magnazzi, look him up. You bought your wife's car from her.
What car was that?
A Chevy Cavalier.
Yeah, that was mistake two, all right.
That was mistake one.
actually, it runs fairly well for a car that has 120,000 miles on it.
Huh.
But if I'm driving along the road and I want to accelerate... If I put my foot on the gas, the RPMs go up, but the car doesn't seem to go much faster.
Oh.
That's bad, huh?
Oh, you got an in-unison moan.
You got a...
dual moans.
The dual moans.
This is an automatic?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, well, almost. Yeah,
you have a rather unique automatic transmission now.
Yeah.
Yeah, maximum slip.
Yeah, you got transmission troubles. I mean... 120,000 miles is a lot of miles for a Cavalier transmission. If you were real lucky, you would check the transmission fluid and find it was down 6 or 8 quarts and fill it up and everything would be fine. But the chances of that being true are very, very slim.
Actually, being down even a quart will cause it to
slip. Oh, yeah. It doesn't take much.
So if you recommend I sell it back to her and take on her Camry.
Oh.
No. You're gonna tough it out with this thing, Mike. You're a man, aren't you?
Why did you buy this car from her?
Oh, I thought she gave me a great price.
And what did she do? She bought a Camry?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, check the automatic transmission fluid.
And if you're lucky, you've leaked some out, and that's why it's slipping. If you're not lucky, you'll need a transmission rebuild, which is many hundreds of dollars. If your luck is somewhere in between, which I guess it will be, a transmission fluid and filter change might do the trick.
Yeah, that would be the first step. You check the transmission fluid. If it's down, you say, thank you, God. I guess I've been leading a wonderful life. You add transmission fluid and everything will be fine. If it's not down, or when you add the transmission fluid, it doesn't get better, take it into any garage and have them change the fluid and the filter. And if that doesn't fix it, go to the junkyard and buy.
And take the first cash offer they give you.
Yeah. Either leave the car or buy a junkyard transmission and throw it in there.
Yeah.
Because if the rest of the car is okay, which it probably never was, I mean, does the engine seem to run all right?
Yeah, it seems to run fine.
Yeah, and the body's in good shape, even living up there in Albany?
It does have a few
holes.
Craters?
In it.
Breaches.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. How would you feel about spending $700 or $800 to fix this if you had to?
I don't think it'd be worth it.
How about 100?
Oh, that'd definitely be worth it.
How about 3?
That'd be worth it too.
Okay,
that's the junkyard solution.
I see.
Yeah. So try it. I mean, in that order, you know, fluid and junkyard, and
then if none of those
and
work, then
go
leave
back
it.
To the junkyard and say, I don't want the transmission and I don't want the car either.
Good luck, Mike.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
See
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Amy from Chicago.
Amy, what's up?
Well, I'm hoping you guys can settle an argument for me and my husband.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to do exactly with the type of car. We drive a Plymouth Voyager, but he drives with 2 feet. Like, he brakes with his left foot, and he puts the right foot on the gas.
Yeah.
And it makes me nuts. I think that it could hurt the car, and he claims that there's no way it could hurt the car. And
I'm sorry, I interrupted.
No, it's fine.
Don't ever just jump in with an opinion until you find out, like, how big is the husband.
No, unimportant. He's too far away for it to matter. It's like gravity. You know, if the body's far enough away, the attraction is small. But you sound like a young woman, Amy. Is your husband like a septuagenarian or something?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Because only people in their 70s, 80s, and 90s drive with 2 feet.
Well, maybe he learned. As we know, we have all learned how to drive from our fathers. And if our fathers drove incorrectly, then from generation to generation, all the bad habits get handed down.
Well, it's interesting. I have noticed that our father, who is in his 80s now, never used to drive with 2 feet. But over the last decade or so, he's taken to driving with 2 feet. Because he's unsure of
You've actually been in the car while he was driving? What are you, nuts? I waved goodbye to him. See you later, Dad.
I figured it was like taking a stress test. If I could survive a ride with him, then I figured my ticker was okay. But he has taken to driving with 2 feet, and he's always been a wonderful driver.
Well, don't forget, I mean, if your reflexes are bad, that will certainly improve your reflexes.
Is your husband a nerd, Amy?
No, not at all.
Is he athletic?
His job is a little not too athletic, no. No, I guess he's not athletic.
Is he not athletic?
All right, we have to get real personal. Is he overweight?
No.
He's not.
No, not at all.
Is he lazy?
And he's...
Is he stupid? I asked all the easy questions first.
Has he always driven with 2 feet? I mean, since you've known him, he's been a two-footer?
Well, the thing is, we used to have, we used to have a stick shift. And so, you know, he would have to use his right foot for the gas and the brake.
Oh, yeah.
And the left foot for the clutch.
You know, he's suffering from phantom foot.
Phantom foot. Right. He's suffering withdrawal from not having anything to do with his left foot.
Well, the thing is, though, he argues with me that there is no real reason not to drive with 2 feet. Well, and that's where I keep getting stuck.
Here's the reason.
Uh-huh.
No, unless you want to suspend...
I disagree. I don't know what he's going to say. I'm going to... You know how you...
I can't take it anymore.
Did you ever take debating when you were in college? And you have to just pick a position and just stick with it. I'm going to disagree with whatever the hell you say.
you always do.
And I have to figure out what it is. Go ahead. What is your position on
this?
Well,
in order to drive with 2 feet and do it correctly, you must suspend your left foot above the pedal. That is that brake pedal. That is, you cannot really make contact with the pedal except for the most minuscule amount. Because if you were to make any greater contact than that, you would, in fact, be in danger of either having the brake lights on, which would confuse people behind you, or, in fact, having the brakes on.
Mm-hmm.
So unless you're really going to suspend it, boy, and if you were to do that, that gets awfully tiring, holding your left leg up. Imagine driving from Chicago to Cleveland, even without your foot on the brake. But imagine doing that and having to hold your left foot off that pedal. It seems kind of silly, doesn't it?
So let me get this straight. Your position is that it's either terribly uncomfortable, and that can't be true, otherwise he wouldn't continue to do it.
It is. You'll be amazed at what you can get accustomed to.
Or the alternate is that he's not uncomfortable, and therefore he is resting his foot on the brake pedal. And so what?
Yes.
So what?
So he's wearing out his brakes, and he's driving perhaps with his brake lights on, which is confusing people behind him.
Okay, so your position is he should not do this.
Yes, and yours is?
I disagree. And here's my reason. Yes, he is wearing out his brakes. So what? The truth is that in braking, there is more time spent getting your foot from the gas pedal to the brake pedal than anything else. And so in the interest of safety, the heck with the lousy brakes. Let them wear out, because he can stop much faster than the guy behind him.
Well, I've
and
devised...
so he's going to get rear-ended, the taillights are going to break, and they won't light anymore, so he won't be confusing people in back.
Well, I have invented a little device, which basically is a broomstick attached to your chin, and it goes all the way down, and it sits on the pedal, so if you have to make an emergency brake, all you need to do is push your face towards the steering wheel, and you will immediately apply pressure to the brake pedal.
Or, alternatively, I suppose, if you have an accident, it will help you to stop.
There you have it, Amy. I don't know if we helped you make up your mind.
The trade-off truly is the speed with which you stop,
uh-huh,
and whether or not you want to wear out the brakes, because riding the brake all the time is going to not only wear out the brakes, but it's going to glaze the pads and the shoes.
Yeah.
Which is going to reduce braking power.
Well, I think you guys have settled our argument. And
yes.
I believe that I'm the winner. So
yes,
I
you know that I'm right, Amy, huh?
Exactly.
Yes, we knew that all along.
Tell your husband I'm expecting a check in the mail.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, Tommy, look, it's time to take a break.
Yeah.
And when we come back, we're going to have the answer to last week's puzzler, if I can remember. Do you remember something? Anything about it?
Did it have to do with falling leaves, falling arches, and falling off a bike?
No, that was your commute to the radio station today. But it did have something to do with bikes.
Oh, see, at least one of the synapses is firing.
Yeah, one out of two ain't bad. We'll be right back.
Bought you a car, built to last, the symbol of my love, should anyone ask? Steady. Rugged and strong, it'll keep you safe as you roll along. Through the mud. Color.
And even though baby boomers say, you know, a little age-related hearing loss might not be such a bad thing whenever they hear us say it. This is NPR.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the American Jewish World Service, working together for more than 30 years to build a more just and equitable world. Learn more at ajws.org.
If you start your weekdays with Up First, now you can start your weekends with us too. I'm Scott Simon.
And I'm Lulu Garcia-Navarro. Stay caught up with NPR News 6 days a week. Up First, NPR's morning news podcast, weekdays at 6 Eastern, and now with weekend hours too, Saturdays at 8 Eastern.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. Have you remembered it yet?
No, but you go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, this was an historic folkloric puzzler. It came from someone named Carrie Brown at the American Precision Museum in Windsor, Vermont. They had an exhibit there called The Pedal Power.
Yeah, which closed when, around 1895?
Well, something like that. But the museum is still alive and well.
Ah.
In any case, she wrote, in the 1800s, the common form of bicycle was called the ordinary. And you've seen pictures of it. It's the bike with the huge front wheel.
Yeah.
It was mostly considered a toy for wealthy young men. It was expensive and obviously dangerous. And the most common accident was something called the header. It sent the rider going over the handlebars, usually to his death.
Yeah, you're sitting about 7 feet up in the air.
And obviously it was difficult to mount and ride and the whole thing. So to make cycling more universally acceptable, something called the safety bike was developed, which had two wheels of the same size, a chain drive, and many features we see on bikes to this day. The safety didn't catch on at first. It was considered ugly, inefficient, and uncomfortable. Now, I said this was, at the beginning, semi-automotive. Did I not? Quasi-automotive.
Oh, you did. I remember. You introduced it as being
right,
a
and
quasi.
Right, and you will see why in a minute.
Yeah.
In 1889, a veterinary surgeon in Belfast, Ireland, patented an accessory which revolutionized the bicycle. Safeties became popular, and the ordinary became
obsolete.
Passé.
Yeah.
The question, very simply, is what was the name of that surgeon or what, in fact, did he patent? Either answer would suffice.
Either answer would. So the thing must have his name in it.
And
it's not the bicycle seat.
No, but that would have been good.
That would have been important.
I think the
that
seat
would,
was...
That would have been important.
Someone had figured out the seat. No, and the reason I couldn't give you his name is that his name is John Boyd Dunlop.
Oh.
And Dunlop invented the pneumatic tire. And in doing so, made the safety bike the bike of choice, because now it was no longer uncomfortable. See, the big wheel of the ordinary smoothed out the ride over those cobblestone streets and rutted back roads.
Of course, but if you put smaller tires, smaller wheels on the bike...
That weren't pneumatic.
Man.
And all the people who rode those had their teeth knocked out. They looked like Gary Hayes. So anyway, who's our winner, man?
Our winner this week is John Robertson from Chillicothe, Ohio.
And away, John!
And for having his answer selected at random from among all the correct answers, John will get a $25 gift certificate to the Car Talk Shameless Commerce Division on our website, with which he can wow his friends, get this, with a match set, service for four, of Car Talk coffee mugs. It's if he's not too cheap to pony up the extra 95 cents that it's going to cost him. But he's got $25 to spend any way he wants on the Car Talk website.
Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzle coming up in the third half of the show, so don't go anywhere. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, guys. My name's Nate Madsen. I'm calling from Freshwater, California, from the top of an ancient redwood tree.
Nate, from the top of an ancient redwood tree?
That's what I said, believe it or not.
Is that where you live?
That's where I'm currently living. I'm living here in order to preserve this ancient tree from being cut by the Pacific Lumber Company.
You're doing this as a form of protest.
Yeah,
civil disobedience.
That's what I'm doing living here, yeah.
Yeah.
How long have you lived there?
Oh, it's been a little over a year now, and I just climbed up here on my way home from work one day and thought that my action could make a difference in this world. If I spent a little time living in this tree, I could make the world a more beautiful place.
So you're like 200 feet off the ground?
Right now I'm about 170. The top of the tree is actually about a little over 200, yeah.
And Pacific Lumber, whoever they are,
uh-huh,
would like to cut down this and other trees, but why don't they do it while you're at work?
Oh, when you go to the bathroom.
Well, I unfortunately had to give up my job in order to maintain this tree's safety. So.
Well, maybe they wouldn't want to cut it while he's going to the bathroom.
Oh, so you're...
That would be a really bad
That would be the
time,
wrong
actually.
Time.
That would be the wrong time. So you're in the tree 24 hours a day for a year?
Well, I actually have some wonderful people who are kind enough to come and spend some time up here and make it possible for me to go do things like visit my dog.
Are any of them female?
Yes, actually. There are some beautiful
women. A one-track mind.
Yeah. He has a one-track mind.
I know.
So you can't possibly have a car problem. You're up in the tree.
Well, that's the most interesting thing. There's this guy who drives by who has a car problem. There's this, what appears to me to be, I'll give you guys the info here. It appears to be an 87 Ford Ranger.
Mm-hmm.
It appears to have some kind of problem where it's coming up the hill, and it's like doing okay. I can hear it coming, and then all of a sudden it starts chugging out. It's like, occasionally, it has actually gone so far as to poop out right here in front of the tree. And I'm sitting up here, I think unbeknownst to them.
Yeah, I bet.
And here I am yelling down, I think your injectors are clogged. I was kind of getting a kick out of trying to, you know.
Probably thinks it's a word from God. Oh, my God.
So I was calling to see if you guys had any idea on...
So next time he comes up, you can give him some other advice.
Yeah, maybe my advice is faulty, maybe my advice is good.
Oh, so you've made verbal contact.
Well, not really. They didn't say much. They said, what? And then they kind of looked dumbfounded, and it was like, get in the car, dear. We're out of here.
I mean, if some wacko from a tree started talking to me, I'd be out of there too.
Yeah, I guess so.
Now, when you see this thing coming up the hill, do you see anything coming out the tailpipe?
No, I haven't noticed anything irregular coming out of the tailpipe.
But what you do hear is all this coughing and choking. How steep is the hill?
It's a significantly steep hill.
And it's like a dirt road.
It's like climbing a mountain, but it's not a dirt road. It's a paved road.
It's a paved road.
I mean, for a lot of reasons, we might not be able to help you because without being able to ask the questions...
We can't ask you any questions.
...that we would ask
tough.
Them.
Right.
We can only assume that it could be either a fuel problem...
It could be electrical, could be a bad coil...
A bad spark plug wire, a fouled plug.
Yeah, right. I mean, what we'd like to know, for example, is do they have the same problem driving on a straightaway instead of coming up a hill?
That would be
nice to know.
I can't help you with that.
Does it happen when the engine's cold and hot, or both, or neither, or one or the other, or some such thing? There are so many questions.
Well, what you need to do is make some signs.
Right.
Or make just write notes and toss them down.
Right. Stop here if you have car problems.
Stop here if you have car problems. You can lower it down. You have rope and stuff up there in the tree.
Sure do.
Oh, yeah.
So you can... Stop here. I have a question about your car.
And then you can call us next week.
Sounds great.
So we'll be awaiting the next piece
of
the puzzle.
Well, all right. So wait. What question, if he could only ask two questions, which two questions would we want him to ask?
Well, do you have any toilet paper? Well, I would ask them what they've done to attempt to solve this problem, if anything. That would be the first.
Okay.
Because that would eliminate a lot of things for us.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then ask them if it's hill climb related only.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'll go with that.
We'll start with that, Nate.
Does it only happen climbing a steep hill? And what have they tried to do to fix it?
Okay.
If you get any information, call us back.
Okay, I definitely will.
Hey, there's a plane going by.
That's a chainsaw.
That's a
chainsaw.
Look out, Nate!
No.
See you later.
All right,
hey,
you guys
thanks
take
for
care.
Calling.
Yeah, thank you.
He'll be calling us from the hospital next.
How does
fall from the tree.
How does he charge up his cell phone battery? He's got to have a lot of friends, boy. He must have a rope, and
yeah.
He lowers stuff down. And, of course, he doesn't have to stay up there all the time, because if there's no chainsaws around, all he's got to do is be able to scramble back up
there. I think at night he's going to the Holiday Inn. At least that's where I'd go.
My God, a year.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Well, it's
hey,
good.
You got to stand up. A man's got to do what a man's got to do, you know?
Yeah, you got to stand up or sit down for your rights.
You do.
If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Lori. I'm from Binghamton, New York.
Lori?
Lori.
L-A-U-R-I-E?
L-A-U-R-I-E. Very good. Most people want to shorten that right down.
To L-O-R-I.
Yeah. Anyway.
What's up?
I have a Subaru GL with about, I guess now about 136,000 miles on it.
Mm-hmm.
And for the last 2 years, I've been plagued with this problem of losing antifreeze.
Mm.
You know, the radiator's been replaced, and several times I've taken it to people who have done that thing where they flush, you know, water through it to check for leaks.
Mm-hmm.
And there are no visible leaks, but here's the worst thing about this, is that it's on the engine somehow, so the fumes come back at me of hot antifreeze.
You can smell it.
Yes, I can smell it.
Well, how come these morons that you've brought it to can't find the leak?
I don't know. I don't know.
Did I answer my own question?
You may have.
No, I mean, if you can smell it, obviously it's leaking onto something. And if they were there at that moment and opened up the hood, they would be able to see exactly where it was coming from.
Because it's green, right? It's bright green.
Yeah, and it's wet.
Yeah.
And steam would
and
be
hot.
Coming. Steam would be coming off of it.
But my temperature gauge never changes.
Well, the temperature gauge wouldn't change unless you were genuinely overheating. On the other hand, if you lose a little bit of coolant under high pressure, it will make a lot of steam.
Yeah.
Because half of what's in there is water.
Right.
Yeah. Which steams up pretty easily.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you can do this yourself. If you can't trust any of these bozo mechanics that you've been to, then next time this happens, very gingerly open the hood.
Okay.
And see if you can tell.
Don't open the hood.
Don't open the hood?
Gingerly.
No. The hood should only be opened by a trained professional wearing the proper combat gear.
Yeah. Which consists of what? A
football.
Baseball hat on backwards.
Oh,
yeah, you'll be able. You can open the hood because it's not pouring out.
No,
just be careful that there isn't any steam really coming out of anything. So open it. When I say gingerly, sort of open it a crack and make sure there's no going on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the other problem area on these cars is the water pump.
Oh, okay.
So you could have a leaky water pump, a leaky water pump gasket, or you could have a leaky hose somewhere else in the system.
Okay.
Yeah,
and it should be very easily found with a pressure test. And what we would do if we had this car is we would find a nice dry spot in which to park it,
mm-hmm.
run the engine with the pressure tester on it, and get the engine red hot.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it hadn't built up its own pressure, we would build it up to perhaps 15 or 20 pounds of pressure,
okay.
which is 5 pounds over operating pressure.
This is just a little pump that goes on in place of the radiator cap, and you can actually pump it up like a bicycle pump.
Oh,
exactly.
So you can pressurize the whole cooling system.
And then you shut the car off, and you let it sit there, and you'll watch what happens. Now, it's very likely that the same steam that you see is going to appear for the mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be able then, using this instrument that he has called the eye, to find the leak.
Yeah. I mean, this ain't rocket science.
You have a little pinhole in a hose someplace.
Yeah.
Or you have a blown head gasket.
Oh.
No, I don't see a head gasket in Laurie's future.
Oh.
I see.
Thank you.
I mean, I have to go into a little trance here for a moment. But I am getting a very, very strong water pump message.
Ah.
Yeah. And that's I'm also getting a number.
Mm-hmm.
$161.50. That's it.
That's
You're
it.
Amazing.
Come on, how'd I do?
You did great.
You re-pumped.
Yeah, it just happened. I mean, and that's what I see.
Well,
Laurie, you are an ideal candidate to be on Stump the Chumps in a few weeks.
Okay.
So stay by the phone.
Okay.
We'll call you, but get it fixed before you overheat
it. Yeah. I mean, you might not have too many brain cells left. I mean, after all, you even called us, which is an indication that something isn't right.
And I listen to you every week, so what does that say?
In that little brain, yeah.
Right.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Chris Van Arbor.
Hi, Chris.
Chris, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Great.
Well,
as good as I've ever been, I guess.
That's understandable.
Mediocre.
That's mediocre.
So what's up, Chris?
Okay, well, I need you two to solve a little domestic dispute that I have.
Ah, another one. We love these.
My brother is the expert.
We're in the wrong business.
Well,
why are we wasting our time with cars? Domestic disputes, that's our calling.
And that's why I'm calling.
Okay,
is your mate on the line with you?
Yes, she is.
Aha.
Hi.
Hi. Yes. Who's this?
You know,
that's
we could pick that up.
Eva?
You know.
Eva.
Eva.
That's right.
Yeah.
Chris and Eva.
Yeah, we did hear that heavy breathing. We knew that something
we knew somebody was there. All right, what is the nature of this domestic dispute?
Okay, well, we used to drive a maroon and rust 1981 Volvo. And I would never let us use the air conditioning while we were doing city driving, because when we would when we'd come to a stop sign or a stoplight, the motor would make a terrible churning noise like it was going to die on us.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was.
This got me, I think, a little nervous and scarred, because now we're driving a Subaru Legacy, which we love very much. But I still have this feeling that I can't use the air conditioning when we come to a stoplight, and. Because I don't want to hurt the engine. I want to save it from wear. And so Eva thinks that I'm crazy.
A wimp.
She thinks I'm paranoid.
To put it more succinctly, not crazy, just a wimp.
That's right.
All right, what was the question?
Whether or not Chris is a wimp. I think that's what it boils down to. I know how I vote.
The answer is that he is a wimp.
All right, there we go.
But it's interesting how we develop these habits based on our previous experience with cars. So that I have this theory that if you started out with a real heap, then you will always drive, as does Chris. That's why people, when they start up their cars, I'll bet he does this too. When he starts the car, as soon as it starts, it sounds like it's going to start, he revs the engine. Rung, rung. Does he do that?
Not quite.
Ah, good. There's hope yet.
Oh, good.
Good. There is hope for you yet.
But, Chris, leave the air conditioner on and don't worry about it.
Yeah,
turn it on and off?
No.
Oh, no. The reason the Volvo did that was because the engine was ready to die, or it needed a tune-up, and so it was running lousy. And when it runs lousy, the air conditioning does put an additional load on the engine. So when you come to a stop when it should be idling at 800 RPM, it can't do it because it's running so lousy. But the Legacy probably isn't running lousy.
Oh, it's terrific.
Yeah, so it's fine. Just
leave
it on.
Leave well enough alone. Put the AC on. Of course, you won't be using it for six more months.
In Ann Arbor, you hardly even need air conditioning.
Yeah, but to, def- I think the defroster also kicks in the air conditioning.
Yes, when you turn on the defroster, it turns on the air conditioning as it should. And don't mess with it. Leave it on.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. Tell them, Eva.
You guys know what's what.
We're with you, Eva.
That's right.
No. See you, folks.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Okay, I've had enough. I think we should take a break.
If you've had enough, then you know that both of our listeners bailed out at least 10, 15 minutes ago.
We'll be back in just a minute.
Dad had a good mama loved to ride. Daddy liked to drive it, mama liked to glide. Four white walls constantly in motion, from the Great Smoky Mountains to the California Ocean. Two-tone ragtop poles in the side. Dad had a Buick and mama loved to ride. Dad had a Buick, poles in the side. Dad had a Buick and mama loved to ride.
And even those skunks turn up their noses whenever they hear us say it. This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from Newman's Own Foundation, working to nourish the common good by donating all profits from Newman's Own food products to charitable organizations that seek to make the world a better place. More information is available at newmansownfoundation.org.
A global shortage of helium. It's not just a big deal for balloons and birthday parties. Helium's used in rockets, MRI machines, and quantum computers. And we actually have to extract it, like, from the ground. What happens if it runs out? This week on Shortwave, the daily science podcast from NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
Which I'm going to remember next week. I promise you.
I'm going to bet you don't remember it in 15 minutes. In fact, before we finish the show today.
How about right after you finish telling?
I'm going to ask you if you remember the puzzle. Here it is. It's pretty simple.
Yeah.
You're one of 100 people standing in line to get onto an airplane that has 100 seats. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's a seat for every person who's in line, and each of you has a boarding pass. So each of you is assigned a seat.
Mm-hmm.
The first person who walks onto the plane drops his boarding pass, and instead of picking it up, he decides, I'm just going to sit any place, and he takes a seat at random. You with me?
Sure, why not?
Now, every other passenger, and we'll assume that they get in one at a time, okay, will take either his assigned seat, because everyone else has his or her boarding pass, or if that seat is taken, that passenger will take any seat at random.
Right.
Okay, you with me?
I'm with you. So if the very next person who goes on the plane after this guy you told us about, if he took that person's seat,
then that person...
That person's going to have to take a different seat.
Exactly.
And everyone's going to be screwed up.
Maybe.
I've been on that flight.
You are the last person to walk onto the plane.
Yeah.
Okay? And obviously there's going to be one seat left.
Yeah.
What are the chances that you get to sit in your assigned seat?
Snowball's chance in hell.
So I'm going to make it multiple choice.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to make it multiple choice.
A.
I'll give you A, 1 out of 2. B, 1 out of 10. C, 2 out of 50. D, 1 out of 100.
Wow.
E.
What?
0. Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on the back. Should I give the choices again?
Go ahead.
1 in 2.
Mm-hmm.
1 in 10.
Mm-hmm.
2 in 50.
Mm-hmm.
1 in 100. Or 0. That is no chance. Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a $26 bill and send it to...
Or on the back of a fish. We haven't had a fish for a long time. We actually got a Puzzler answer once, written on the side of a fish. This person, as I recall, had put postage on the fish and put it in the mailbox, and it got to us.
Don't encourage people.
The mailman was very unhappy.
Anyway, whether you decide to send the fish or not, even if you don't have the right answer, you can write to us. The address is Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt02238. Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com. But if you'd like to call us, the number here is 888-CAR-TALK. What are the chances of that? That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Esther from Illinois.
Hi, Esther.
How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty okay.
That's
except
good.
Except I have this problem where after 30-something years of driving, no speeding tickets, never a speeding ticket.
Really?
In the last 6 months, I got 3 speeding tickets. And I think there may be something happening in my car that has contributed to this.
How many have you gotten?
3.
In what period of time?
Last 6 months.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's a lot.
Is this a new car you're driving?
Huh?
Is this a new car you're driving?
No, it's an 89 Sable wagon. Not exactly a speedy car.
Does this happen when you are driving down the road and see some particular stud walking along the sidewalk?
No.
Doesn't happen then.
They've been in residential areas where sometimes the speed limit is 25 and... Yeah. One time it was 35.
And
there was nobody else there except for, unfortunately, the police car.
Well, I mean, you got any theories here?
Well, yeah, all of a sudden I was driving in my car and my foot was off the gas and my car was doing between 35 and 40 without any gas. And I thought, this isn't right. This is not a good idle speed.
No.
In other words, you could just take your foot off the gas and the car will all by itself get all the way up to 30 miles an hour?
I take my foot off the brake.
And without stepping on the gas?
And without stepping on the gas, it'll will get up, not immediately,
obviously,
but it'll get up to 35 miles an hour on a straightaway. You know, it's pretty
something's
flat in
wrong.
Chicago.
There is something wrong. Your curb idle speed is too high.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So what I want is a letter from you guys to tell
this guy. Sure,
because
we can do that.
Because he's not going to believe me. I mean, I'm getting my car fixed so that I'll have the evidence that it has been repaired. But even if I show that to the judge, he's going to say, yeah, right.
Well, no, well, the thing is, there's no excuse for speeding.
I realize.
Yeah. Your only hope is to claim incompetence on the part of the cops. But if you say you were speeding because there was something wrong with your car, I mean, every teenager in the world, when he gets caught for his first speeding ticket, he reaches down and tries to free up the gas pedal, which he claims was stuck to the floor. And that's why his car was speeding. I don't know what happened, officer, but my father just worked on my car the other day and the gas pedal stuck and I couldn't stop the car. And I'm lucky I didn't kill anybody. Thank God you pulled me over.
Yeah. So you're basically throwing yourself on the mercy of the court, but it isn't going to work.
Oh, dear.
No. It isn't going to work. But, I mean, we'll be happy.
Well, how much
to
is the letter worth to you?
We can probably arrange the letter.
We can phony up a letter.
Yeah.
But it won't help. You're going to have to do the time, Esther.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Illinois, though, the time means you lose your license. Eck.
Well, I mean, 3 in 6 months is a lot. They're all moving violations.
Yeah.
Are you going to lose your license, really?
I think that's a possibility, yeah.
Ooh.
Which is why I wanted to get the best explanation possible.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you will have it fixed. And I suppose you really do have to get a letter from... this is not a good excuse, I mean, but when you get a letter from the garage that fixes the car saying that your curb idle was way too high, that might... Who knows, David? Your good record, your previous 30 years of driving record might save you.
Might.
But if it doesn't... Hey,
throw myself on the mercy of the court, huh?
Throw yourself on the mercy of the court. I mean, how many buses are there?
Right, just to be on the safe side, get the bus schedule. And start memorizing it.
It's not the end of the world, you know? I mean, you could be carless and not die.
Well, and you may figure out, in fact...
That you'll like it.
That you'll like it.
It's hard to get from where I live to where I work without a car.
Well, you'll have to quit.
You may have to quit your
job. You may like that, too.
Yeah.
Free yourself, Esther.
That's right. I mean, the car is a trap. We've managed to get ourselves into this trap, and now we think we can't live without the car, but we could live without the car.
Especially if you didn't have to go to
but
work.
Then why are we listening to the show?
Well,
we could live without this show. I mean, come on, the world doesn't need this.
Right.
I'd be willing to stop doing the show if people wouldn't be willing to stop driving their cars.
Huh.
Yeah,
we got 150 million people driving cars around every day. It's outrageous. It's absolutely outrageous.
And you know how many of them are driving just to go get gas?
Or just so they can hear this show because their wives won't let them hear it at home.
Right, go in the car. And
get in the car and drive around, you jerk.
Good luck, Esther.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Steve Eisenberg here from Deposit, New York. No, make that Afton, New York.
Well, I know what Deposit is.
You do, huh?
Well, it's near one of my brother's favorite towns.
Tell me it's where that no good princess lives.
Isn't it near Unadilla?
Yes, sirree, Bob, it is.
Home of princess. That no good rotten dog that bit my finger.
What a crybaby.
Well,
she'll deserve it.
He deserved it.
I didn't deserve it because I was giving the damn dog food. I was feeding her, and she literally bit the hand that was feeding her. Now, how dumb can that be? But, oh, well.
What's up, man?
Well, I've got a 1980 Rolls. I mean, excuse me, Dachshund.
They're close. You could make easy to make that
mistake.
You got to change the hood ornament.
This a Datsun 210?
Yes, it is.
Wow.
This used to be one of my favorite cars.
Yeah, you know why? Because you made a lot of boat payments fixing them. That was the biggest piece of junk ever made.
Uh-huh.
It was It's right up there with Hugo's.
No, this is not a piece of junk. Anyway, Steve, it's an oldie but a goodie. So what's up with it?
Well, my wife drives about 45 miles to and then the same from work every day. And one day, the brakes just went on it completely. And she coasted over to the side of the road and couldn't get the brakes going or anything like that. Couldn't pump it up. Couldn't seem to find a problem.
Pedal went right to the floor.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sure did.
Good.
And she called up. We got our lovely AAA man who towed her probably the balance of about 35 miles home and towed it right to the garage of a guy that does the work for us.
Yeah.
He checked it out and discovered that he couldn't find a thing wrong with it.
Okay.
Anyway, she was telling a friend of hers about the self-healing brake problem, and her friend happens to be the wife of a mechanic.
Great.
And she said, wait a minute, did you get towed home? And my wife said, well, certainly. And did you get towed home backwards? She said, yeah, as a matter of fact, the tow truck did it backwards. Huh. Every once in a while, she says, my husband has a car towed in, and when they get towed in backwards, on occasion, they heal themselves, and they just can't seem to figure out what it is. So my 13-year-old decided that this was time for click and clack.
You ain't kidding. This is time for somebody else.
Yeah. Oh boy, we are going to have to summon up all of our powers.
I'll start right now. What color is this, Datsun?
My son Nate said you were going to ask what color it was. So he's got fuzzy dice and everything. So.
He knows, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, is it red?
It's green.
It's green.
Oh, one of those ugly green ones.
Yep.
Yeah.
Here's what I think happened. What I think happened is the emergency brake stuck on.
How sweet it is.
So here she is driving along for the first 5 miles of her trip. And with the emergency brake stuck on, maybe on one wheel in the rear or maybe on both, the wheel or wheels are getting hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter until finally the brake fluid begins to boil. The same thing would happen if you just drove along with your foot on the brake.
Mm-hmm.
And when the brake fluid begins to boil, you lose brake pressure. And the pedal does what?
Sinks down.
Sinks to the floor.
Just like having air in the system. When you have to bleed the system, you've made it have vapor in the system.
So she crash lands in the embankment, and then Krusty shows up with the tow truck and tows her away, during which time everything cools off, and maybe the emergency brake has freed up.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it hasn't, but I would be willing to guess with the salt and whatever they put on the roads.
It happens when it gets cold, then.
It can happen when it gets cold. It doesn't have to be cold, necessarily.
Right.
It can happen because of rust.
See, and that's why towing it backwards. See, if they had towed it frontwards, then by the time it got to the garage, the brake would still have been heating up the brake fluid, and it would still have exhibited exactly the same symptoms.
And maybe they would have seen it smoking. Have somebody check the emergency brake and make sure that the pivots are free and the mechanisms move, because these cars all had this problem with this
and
happening.
Check the cables, which might be all rusted.
But it's more likely to be the mechanism that's inside the drum that's rusted and seizing up, and that would cause you to lose your brakes, and then they'd come back.
Sounds too good.
It does. It's probably wrong.
Tell your son that he was right.
What was he right about?
He said it was time to call us.
Yeah.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. What a brilliant kid. 13
so
years old, huh?
Now? Are you guys going to say hello to Nate on the air for me?
Is that his name? I was just going to ask you, what's Nate's name?
Yep. Nate's name is Nate.
Ah, just what I thought.
Hey, hi, Nate.
Nate, You're a smart kid.
Okay.
Run away from home the first chance you get. See you later.
See you later, buddy.
Bye-bye,
so Steve.
Steve.
Yep. Hey, speaking of winter.
I don't recall that we were speaking
well,
about winter.
You said breaks and cold and freeze.
Oh, yeah, right,
we're
right.
We're in winter, which means it's time to put on what?
Your what?
Bronco Nagurski Long Johns.
Indeed it is.
And here I have a little story about Richard Graves from Dallas, Texas, sent me this little story about Bronco.
Now, how do you know he didn't send it to me?
It says Tom right
oh.
on it.
Gee, feel Hall
of, actually, this is one of these calendars every day has a different little story. It's called the Sports Hall of Shame. And here's the little story. This Hall of Famer Bronco Nagurski, our hero. I mean, we
Indeed.
Love him. I mean, what,
second only in our hearts, too.
What a line of work with a guy like Bronco Nagurski. I mean, could he be like a brain surgeon? I'd like you to meet the brain surgeon. This is Dr. Bronco Nagurski. Get lost!
Yeah, that's true.
Or could he, like, play the cello?
Right.
Yo-Yo Nagurski? No! Hall of Famer Bronco Nagurski was known as Hard Rock when he played for the Chicago Bears in the 1930s. The Green Bay Packers once managed to infuriate Nagurski by stopping him from scoring three straight times from inside the five-yard line. On the fourth down, Nagurski burst through the line and, with his head still down, smashed into the goalpost, bounced off, and ran head-on into a brick wall. And the quote is, "I took some good shots," he said, "but nothing compared to that last guy."
Good old
Bronco. Dr. Bronco to you.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy, Frogman Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mayor, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Pontchartrain, Chow Mein, Quiche Lorraine, Champagne, and Candy Cane Weight Gain Campaign, John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our personal hygiene advisor from the Tokyo office is Otekashawa. Our ranch foreman is Hyman Old Cowhand. Our Russian chauffeur is Pekoff and Dropoff. Our mother-in-law liaison is Stella Payne Diaz, who's married to our father-in-law liaison, Royal Payne Diaz, who are the proud parents of a teenage daughter, Sasha Payne Diaz, who has a dog, Toto Payne Diaz, and a brother in the military, Major Payne Diaz. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon, our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe, is you, Lewis Dewey, known to the construction workers, taking up all the good parking spaces in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Hey, you remember today's puzzler?
Huh?
Don't drive like my brother or think like him either.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be
either.
Back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1945, download other insomnia-curing episodes, and check out our clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, want to ditch your old car before winter arrives and you find yourself stranded in a snowbank surrounded by hungry moose? Donate your old car to this station. You'll get a tax break, and the station gets the proceeds. Check out the Car Talk vehicle donation program. Details are at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the lost city of Atlantis decides to stay lost for a few more millennia whenever we say it, this is NPR.